Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
All right, a real poem now. Be serious for a moment. I know Sunday mornings can feel tribal. Everyone dances you into a fiery circle and sing familiar melodies like Why Are You Not Married Yet? When they speak of their beautiful family, sometimes it will feel like they are conjuring a ghost of the future you may never know. And when Sunday brunch is over, everyone catches a connection to home, but single feels like layovers of delayed flights. You fall asleep in the airport waiting for God to send some hope over the intercom.
Yeah. Yeah. Rewind about 5 years. I had never been out of the country before. Didn't even own a passport. I was living in Houston at the time. And on a Sunday morning after church, in a casual conversation with my pastor, I asked him, "Hey, what you got going on this week? Anything coming up?" "Yeah, man, I'm about to head to Armenia next week." I had never even heard of Armenia, let alone know where it was on a map. Just being honest, forgive my ignorance. I asked what was happening out there, and he went into short detail about doing some stuff with some local house church leaders. I said, "Hey, man, that sounds dope." He said, "Yeah, you want to go?" "Absolutely, I do." Fast forward less than 2 weeks later, I'm sitting on a plane on a rainy tarmac in Houston, getting ready to fly to Armenia. We would stop in Atlanta, lay over in Paris, before arriving in Yerevan, the country's capital. But that heavy rain would delay our departure by an hour, and we only had an hour and a half layover in Hartsfield Atlanta International Airport. We land in Atlanta, push our way through to the front of the crowded plane like we were desperate for a miracle. We sprint through literally the busiest airport in the world, our overstuffed backpacks bouncing with every step. We arrive at our gate 5 minutes before the flight departs. But as some of you may know, gates must close 10 minutes prior. Another flight to our destination wasn't leaving for another 24 hours. So we pleaded with the unrelenting gate agent while pointing to the plane that was still sitting right outside the window. We saw it. We explained how it wasn't our fault. We thought our heavy breathing and sweaty faces would draw sympathy. "Just respect my effort." We were so close to a runway out, but still thousands of miles away. And that, my friends, is what it feels like when you're in your late 20s, 30s, or 40s while dating and trying to get married. Bunch of delayed and missed flights, rushing to get to that glorious runway. Some of you may call it a wedding aisle, only to be told the gate is closed. Maybe you're too late. What's going on, family? My name is Joseph Solomon. I'm a singer, songwriter, poet, spoken word artist, YouTuber, lifelong student, ever doubtful Christian, frequent flyer, Welcome to the second flight of the Flights and Feelings podcast, season one, where we thoughtfully and vulnerably travel through faith, relationships, sexuality, science, health, and culture via storytelling, poetry, and conversation. So even though this podcast has flights in the title, you should know it's technically not a travel show. However, in each episode, I will share travel stories and even travel tips. And the travel tips are not always crazy extraordinary. They're just little things I've learned along the way to make my adventures more convenient, affordable, and enjoyable. So today's flight tip is this. You got 24 hours to cancel your flight and receive a full refund with no penalty on any airline. Don't let them make it seem like it's a special thing they have. By U.S. federal law, airline companies are required to allow you to cancel your flight reservation and receive a full refund. Every single airline. You don't have to go through a travel agency website for this perk. So this is great if you're like 75% sure you're taking this flight, you want to grab a ticket, but something might change in the next day. I've literally bought two tickets to the same city, but maybe different departure times, just to make sure I had my ticket, and then I could cancel the other one based on whatever new information came in. But I've also learned that some airline reps on the phone can be nice and just waive a change fee, even if it's after the 24-hour period, especially if you have status with that airline, as I spoke about in the last episode. This really just depends on who you get on the phone, though. Sometimes I'll call, give my sob story, and then realize this person ain't budging. So I'll just say, okay, I'll hang up and call back for someone else. First call, I got Brian. Brian wasn't having it. Next call, I got Yolanda. Yolanda changed my flight without even mentioning the change fee. So just got to have a little perseverance, a little persistence. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is today's flight tip. Today, we're talking about one of the cringiest things for me to talk about. Singleness and age. Blah, 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 blah. The average age of people getting married for the first time in the U.S. is slowly creeping up. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2010, the average age for a man to get married for the first time was around 27, 28. In 2019, it's closer to 30. In 2010, for the average woman getting married for the first time, it was around 25 years old. And now it's closer to 28. And that could be tricky for those of us who grew up seeing the average age of marriage being a bit younger and then taking that same standard and applying it to ourselves in the 21st century. And it can be even more discouraging when you hear those numbers of average age and you think, well, shoot, I'm definitely past that average today. And of course, when we compare ourselves to averages and cultural norms, you can start to feel abnormal. What the heck am I doing with myself? What am I doing wrong? Are my standards too high? Have they been too low? Am I overthinking this thing? Should I be thinking about it more? Did I pass up on someone good? When or if I get married, is biology going to be my new enemy? As a single man with no kids who has crossed over that average marrying age of 30, I personally have wrestled with a lot of those questions, and I'm sure many others have as well. In general, the question under all of that could be, did I wait too late to get married? So today I bring on a good friend of mine, Ezekiel Azanwu. He's a spoken word artist slash poet like myself, an author and businessman and a bunch of other amazing things. But he's also my age in the opposite pool when it comes to this whole marriage thing. He got married young and he's got 5 kids. And like I said, he's a good friend of mine. We're really close. So we have a pretty candid conversation about this, a little pushback here and there, personal stories and whatnot. And I hope you enjoyed.
When man, you know, I think, man, personality has a lot to do with it. I think the personality that I had lended towards me being afraid to dabble with a lot of other women because I had rejection issues. So I got married. I love my wife, and I believe that God was calling me towards marriage at a young age, and I did not know why. So 22 years old, it happened. And I guess sometimes, in the first year of marriage, I would wonder, why did I get married so early? I had to ask myself.
The new Tyler Perry movie. Why did I get married? Too.
Yeah. So early. Yeah. It wasn't until later on I was able to realize, oh, there was purpose in this. There's a reason why I specifically got married that early. And I didn't even know the reason until later on.
What was that reason?
That reason was just, man, I feel like I needed to have my wife specifically in the seasons that God would bring me into the traumas that I would face, some of the conflicts I would face with me and my parents, some of the accomplishments that I would have, even just being thrown into the spotlight of being this poet that is known in the Christian circles all around and doing all this traveling. I needed a base. I needed a foundation that I could come back to. I need that anchor. And so I'm grateful. If I did not have a wife and I was doing all that I did and I was achieving all that I did, I think it would be tougher for me to begin that search while I had all those things, because they serve as distractions, I think.
Search for?
A wife.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, you say, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So with all that stuff, it's just like, okay, I got a lot of what I need. And so marriage, like, I don't need a woman to, you know, achieve more in my eyes, because I've achieved so much without one. So then the options are there. So it's just like, okay, I could, you know, and you never know who wants you for you or who wants you for what they see.
So. Why? I feel like you're trying to call me out, Loki.
Nah, let it be. But that's the truth for me. Yeah. So speak your truth, brother. Speak your truth.
Yo, I think like, but I think so. It's not even just about, me being, you know, this quote unquote popular person who has a lot of things that are coming around for you, you know, as far as achieving things individually as a popular whatever, right? I think a lot of us still run into that same problem no matter what you're in. What happens is when you get older, as the more you go through life, you set up, one, you learn yourself more. Mm-hmm. Like you just learn you more.
Yes.
Like if you were kind of figuring those things out in high school in the early 20s, and you were getting hints of who you were, but you were still trying to try some other things out. And then eventually, not to say that nobody grows or that nobody's changing as they get older, everyone's growing and still changing and evolving, but you kind of hone in on who this is me. This is who I am. This is my likes and dislikes. This is what triggers me. This is what doesn't trigger me. These are my aspirations. Your aspirations get much more specific. And so in that, no matter what, you know, stage you are, as far as whether being known or unknown, the reality is you are becoming much more choosy as you get older. You get less choosy in some ways, like some stuff that you're like, oh, that actually wasn't a big deal at all. And so you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm becoming more open. But on the flip side, you're actually becoming less and less open, because now it's like, you know, at 22, you weren't thinking about what they credit score like, though, because that might mess up some. How much debt they get.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or yeah. Like, man, as long as they love Jesus. But then like, but what when they say that, what do they
what
mean?
Does that mean? Yeah.
What does it mean to do that? And so a lot you get a lot more specifics as you get older.
You don't feel like the bad guy sometimes. Like, I feel like guys like you, who nice looking guys, who are in their early 30s, late 30s, 40s, or whatever, who have some notoriety, not being married. People look at people like you as wearing something like that as a badge of honor. Like, you can't get me. Ha ha.
Oh, no, I don't. Oh, gosh. Why'd you add that last part up there?
The little Nelson ha ha. Yeah.
No, by no means do I know what? No, no, no. Uh-uh, no. No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I think it's this unfairness, because, you know, in this culture or within our communities or minorities, just black communities, a lot of black women see black men as just this, especially good black men with things going on for themselves. They look at them as this obscure intangible player, materialistic, macho. Like they're using that, and they're using that as a barricade to keep us away. And they filter some through when they feel like they have time to. So you don't feel like there's this kind of this unfairness that you have some kind of privilege, being who you are.
No, I think what I was talking about as far as like you get more specific and choosy, and again, not choosy in the sense of like, I think that can come with a bad connotation, but you just think through a lot more things necessarily and unnecessarily. Like some of the things that you think through now is like, well, how does, you know, at 22, you're talking about how does that person get involved in my life? It's much different when you're older. And then when you also have much more, you've established a lot more relationships across the board, friendships and stuff. A lot of my friends are married now. So it's like, how do they, I think through that. Like, I think through like, man, how would that look like with Ezekiel and his family and Jackie and Preston and their family and Jeanette and their family, Chris, all the poets. Mm-hmm. Like I envision that. Mm-hmm. And you have to envision being a traveler. Like, what does that look like to be in my career with someone? So these are things that I just wasn't thinking through 5 or 6 years ago. And so again, you lose some of the other stuff that's like, oh, that actually wasn't all that big of a deal. You know, I was young and I thought that this was the ideal woman. That really just was more of a surface level preference. But these other things can still be considered surface level preference. Gotta work all those things out, but it's still something that's riding in the back of your brain. Like, how do they translate? I go to South Africa a lot. So I'm like, how does that look like to go to South Africa? You know, like you just think through all that stuff. And so it just becomes, I think, a bit more paralyzed. But I think that's what a lot of people are thinking through, because whether you're male or female, as you grow and you get more specific in what you want, especially if you've gone through other relationships, you're like, you learn, okay, well, I realize I don't want that in a relationship. So now is it not only your general preferences, it's also like past hurt or past good. Like, okay, I learned that I thought this would be good for me in a relationship, this type of person. And then I realize, oh, no, I can't be with that. And you keep taking that, whether no matter how long that relationship was or talking phase, whatever it may be, you take that and say, okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah. And so this learning of yourself, and I think people always say behind every good man or every successful man is a good woman standing behind them, or this essence of if I'm going to be who I need to be, if I'm going to be successful, if I'm going to be walking in this purpose, then I'm going to need this wife. Do you think that it's impossible? Like, can you really know yourself until you're married? Like, truly, there are things that I didn't know of myself, and things that I know that I needed, things that I know I lacked in until I got married. So I personally believe there is like this element of deeper understanding of even who you are in relationships. Yeah. Specifically, the marital relationship exposes a side of who you are and even God. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trying to say that the single is at a disadvantage, but I will say that there is a side of yourself that you may never know unless you're married. And there may be a side of God that you may never see. And that may not be a problem. I'm going to just take you back to Genesis. Genesis, God created man. In chapter 2, verse 15, he put man in a garden. And in verse 18, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Between verse 15 and verse 18, what happened? Like, what did God see? What did God observe? But I realized that in verse 18, he put Adam in the garden. He said, okay, I'm about to put you to work and I'm about to cause you to take care of it. So God already called Adam to purpose and he gave him something to do. But then still he's saying it's not good for man to be alone. I believe that, just in a general sense, I don't believe it's good for men to exist without relationship, period. So, of course, we need relationship. But I also feel like there is a goodness in this, I think on God's side, God wants to observe some goodness. And for Adam, he wanted to see him enjoy some goodness that he was not going to be able to experience apart from this relationship. And so do you believe that it's possible to truly you? I'm asking you specifically, man, first.
You guest on my podcast.
You can you do you? If I was to say, bro, no marriage, do you think you can truly be fulfilled?
So I agree with you. I agree with you. I see it. In general, I think that, like you said, there is something, the way that God has created us, if you want to know yourself, you cannot know yourself without knowing others. Mm-hmm. Like the more you isolate yourself, you actually isolate yourself from yourself. Mm-hmm. There's things about you you can't realize. There's triggers that you had that you didn't know that you had. There's things about you that you realize about your past that you wouldn't even realize unless you interacted with another person.
Yeah.
And they bounce that information back to you. And so I get it, which is one of the reasons why, like, it's part of the reason I've said that, like, I've chosen not to live alone for like the past like 7 years. Partially because I felt like, one, it just felt wise financially in some ways, but another part of that, I did feel convicted. I did a video about this. I did feel convicted in a certain sense to be like, man, I think it's not good for man to be alone in this sense. Like, I feel like I'll get more and more into my own selfishness, and I've had to be challenged in a lot of ways with living with other people, with things I can kind of kick my feet up. I like the temperature of this. I like, you know, the kitchen to be set up this way. And I got everything set up the way that I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And there's no one to sort of like push back against me, not just in those surface things, but even just my normal everyday habits that may be good or may not be good. I have someone there to push back. So it's been good for me in that sense. And so, but as far as the marriage relationship, I can see how you, even more so, you learn more of yourself. You're confronted. I hear married people say that all the time. More and more you confront it with yourself. Mm-hmm. As much as, if not more than, you are confronted with the other person.
Mm.
A lot of times you feel like you're confronting the other person, but really you're also realizing like, man, that is something within me that needs to be confronted that would have never been confronted had you not. But then there's also things about me. I'm on tour with a bunch of other people and I get confronted all the time.
So you're saying, okay, so as long as you're in some community, you can enjoy the richness of who God is trying to show you that you are and could be.
I think so. I think that the deeper you, and I think that's why you can, and I want to offer that as people who may be, who have never been married, they may be older than what they just thought they would be when they got married. And, you know, you feel like you can't walk out God's purpose. So I'm trying to find that middle ground of saying, yes, marriage is a good thing to pursue and desire, and I get it, and I want to do that. Mm. And at the same time, I also know that there is a lot of great fulfillment of relationships. And I get it. The marriage relationship is just unique. It's just different.
I'm going to fight against you because I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump on the side of the women for a little bit who, you know, they get frustrated because they're like, okay, God created people biologically for things to happen. Puberty happens at a particular time for women, menstruation happens, and then it stops at a particular time, meaning there's a window for being able to give birth. And so do you think as a culture, because of the things that we've got relaxed about or the things that we become more passionate about, that we have now dismissed the biological framework that God has placed us in, and now we've created our own, which is putting us in these weird positions? Now we're 42 having our first child. And I think you brought up something when we were talking a little bit later. Now I'm trying to raise a 10-year-old and my father is now 75 as well. And now I got to take care of him. Like it doesn't seem like that was the way that it was established. Are we kicking against the pricks of our own biology?
Yes. I'll answer. I thought that'd be a great point to add some music in. That's why I was like, biology, music and stuff. So, yes. And that leads to a great point about technology. Again, this podcast, I try to involve a lot of things that I'm super interested in. I'm always interested about the future and like what's on the horizon and stuff, man. I'm looking at this thing on Netflix about childbirth and birth control and stuff like that. And, you know, and infertility and that whole sort of concept. And I think that in general, technological advances have allowed us to sort of push against the goads, kick against the pricks of biology. So women in particular, I didn't even know this, bro. So I learned about freezing eggs a few years ago.
Okay.
Women freezing their eggs as they get closer to their, you know, 30s or whatever. You're like, man, I need to go freeze my eggs, invest in that. I didn't realize now that the one procedure that's possible that's actually a bit more effective than freezing eggs is freezing parts of your ovaries. I forget the whole science behind it. It's on Netflix, Sex Explained sort of series.
I watched those things.
Yeah. So they were talking about how like you can freeze your ovaries and stuff like that. So now it's like, can I push that whole biological constraint of getting married? Like, man, I really want to get married because I'm 33 and I understand how this whole ovaries and eggs things where I got a limited amount of eggs that's going to come out of this body. So now you have technological advances, if you can afford it, to push it even more. And more people are able to afford birth control and all these different sort of technological advances that sort of allows you to move more into your age, which makes it kind of tricky, because then it's like when God says, you know, marriage is a good thing, we start to wonder, well, how is it, like, what is it good for? Like, what are the specifics? It used to be a big part of it was child rearing and all that. You need children so they can take care of you in your old age. Well, we got Social Security, you got retirement funds and plans and stuff like that.
For now.
I mean, for now. Right. Right. We'll see how it happens in, you know, when I'm 70.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say that there's been a lot of, you know, social advances and technological advances that allow people to sort of push marriage further back. You had a lot more social incentives a long time ago, just a couple of generations ago, to have a family. Those incentives, I feel like, are dropping in a lot of ways. And it's like, well, I'm a woman. I don't need a man to get a house now. Mm-hmm. I can get a house on my own because I can actually have a job. Women are allowed to, we can talk about, you know, equality and pay and all that, but the reality is, a lot of women make enough money to get their own house by themselves.
Well, then let me ask you this. I think we've graduated from there. So now women don't need men for the financial reason. They don't need them to progress in class as well. You don't need a man to actually be somebody in society. I'll just make that make it as general as possible. So do you think that the motive and desire of women to want to be married is now more pure? Because now I don't need you. I just want you.
Yeah. So in some sense, that's an interesting point. It's like, yeah, but I still think there's that desire. And again, most people are not looking to freeze their eggs or their ovaries. Most people are just like, I'd rather just do it the traditional way. Just knock this mug out of my 20s while everything's good. So, yeah, but I think there is a side of that, that a society in some way wants to see marriage is becoming more and more of a sort of social add-on versus a social cornerstone, a social, like, man, this is the foundation of what I want to build, what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Now it becomes a bit more of, as we become more and more individualized, which is not always a bad thing. That's a whole nother conversation of how individuality, the whole philosophy of individualism actually ironically has its rise from the church and from the Reformation, this idea of being an individual before God rather than just the church. So like, that's actually a church thing that has its roots in. Okay. And so we see this individual, the emphasis of the individual growing, this want to have that autonomy and still desiring to want to have marriage. I think it's a really interesting thing. But even for men, like, because we don't have to worry about, even though sperm count and all that stuff like is a real thing you want to consider and all that, but the reality is men still have a bit more of a window, and they've always had that bit more of a window to sort of push things to the edge, you know what I'm saying? And not only that, on average, an older man is going to marry a younger woman before an older woman marries a younger man. It happens. Yes. It definitely happens. Yeah. But on average, it doesn't happen. So what happens is, like, men are like, ah, well, if I can just get a younger woman, I can, like, push this thing off. And then and so that whole, like, window of child rearing, it's just way more extended for men.
There's a lot of stuff that comes in, from preferences to just, like, I mean, we could talk about preferences all day. Like, can we talk about the preferences on the guys?
That was pushing people to older marriage.
Yeah, I think so.
Too many preferences.
Because people are unwilling to settle. You got Instagram. Yeah,
they
now.
Go to work. You just said the word. You
what
said
settle? That, okay. We don't want them to settle. Okay.
No. Try to pull back now.
Settle down. I'm gonna say that. I forgot to say
still
down.
Has the word settle.
Okay.
Settle up. I want to settle up. I don't want to settle down. I want to settle up.
I'll say this. In the grand scheme, the way that it was designed, I don't believe that it's a westernized thing that aesthetics is king when it comes to relationships.
You think it's Western?
It's new age. Like, this is now. Like, I don't think 1,000 years ago they was like, well, if she's the flyest honey, then I'll make her.
I think
wife.
So. Why do you think Solomon was like?
Okay, but that's privilege.
He was saying beauty is vain. He was letting everybody know. He said, man, but a woman who fears the Lord. He was, even back then, dudes was, you know, Proverbs, that wasn't but the ancient, you know, don't trust a big butt and a smile. That's what he was saying in ancient ways. If Solomon can come to the 1990s, he would say, don't trust a big butt and a smile.
I wouldn't, but these things change, the big butt.
That's fine, but it's still beauty. There's still some type of physical preference that was around.
Yeah, but who determines it?
Culture, the individual, like, yeah. But there's still the idea that men were like,
you got to like what you see.
Yeah, granted, there's arranged marriage. So I don't know how all that played out back then, but either way, there was a reason
why. My parents got married before they met.
Oh.
So the people in the, if you were to boil it down to one word, why are men not getting married? Why are women not getting married? I think the one word that just comes to my mind is fear. No one wants to, because marriage, and, you know, even though that we can interpret it many different ways, and our definition of marriage has now become a far cry from what God established, we still feel like there's some finality and official essence of marriage, that you don't want to squander that opportunity. And so I think, even like from little things like preference, like, I don't want to be with an ugly dude. Why? Because marriage is final and I have to continue to wake up and see that ugly dude. And from a guy, it's just like, all right, even with being prepared for marriage, I don't want to be unprepared for marriage, because I feel like this is a judgment. Is now like, you know, in court, you get a judgment. Like, I have to live with this. And so this idea, even though marriage has become so transient, no one's staying married. We could talk about that. But this finality to being stuck in an unfortunate situation that does not benefit you. Mm. Now I'm afraid to connect that way. And I think that fear is a healthy fear. However, if it keeps you from relationship, marriage being included, then I believe now it's become a crippling thing that we've actually idolized. Because to be truthful, in essence, no relationship should stay strong with no intentionality and no effort. Every relationship is going to take effort and intentionality. So I think to avoid marriage because of a fear like, he's not tall enough, so my kids are going to be short. Or I don't think that I can get over some of these habits that she has. When you're thinking about the long run, can this person raise my kids? Can this person stay with me for the long run? I think a lot of things that we put in the way of marriage, really, I don't think they're as excusable as we make them seem. Personally, because every relationship is going to present challenges. And if I were to look, Let's talk about it. Me and you, bro. If we were just going to sit there and say, okay, compatibility and just like from our initial beginnings of our relationship, we could have walked away from this thing.
Yeah. And you're talking about how we first started out, we were bumping heads.
We were bumping heads
a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it didn't seem like we had a good future for a friendship.
Mm.
But someone had to.
I thought so. You didn't think so.
I did. Well, I didn't. I personally didn't.
I'm joking.
It's risky. Yeah. No one wants to risk their time and their heart for a situation where just like, you know, you don't see some compatibility. You see some difficulty. You see some challenge. So I think if you were to knock challenge out the way, from whether it be in preference, whether it be in, you know, compatibility, if you got a lot of things off the table, and I don't know what you really got to look for, just see. If there's connection, I think connection matters. Like if there's connection or if there's a desire to make it work, then I think it can work.
See, well, okay. So and I'll agree. I will add. I appreciate you using us as an example. And I see like, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of beauty on the other side of fear. If you cross over that threshold of fear, then there's a lot of beauty to be had in a friendship. But the reality is, it still would be much easier for me to walk away from you today. If you do something, I can walk away from you today. I don't have to sign no papers. I don't have to get a lawyer. I don't have to worry about a lot. I don't have to explain anything to my family to walk away from Ezekiel. But for Ezekiel to walk away from Kiana, you know, there's a whole lot. So I think that there's still that fear of like, man, if I don't get this right, there's a lot that would take place if I.
It's your cultural interpretation of a friendship. Like, I'm sure that there are some instances where, like, I'm sure, like, David and stuff, people dying for each other, dog. Like, man, brotherhood is supposed to be, like, for real. Like people should be, this should be like the hood. Like, how you gonna walk away from your bro? Boom, 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 boom.
Mm.
Like, it's because I feel like our relationship is, can disintegrate and we have the freedom to do so without conscience. I don't think that, I mean, yes, of course. There's an establishment for marriage that's different. It's a unique relationship. But I think if we valued relationships more, we would be willing to fight for friendships just as much.
You talking to cancel culture though, bro. So
Yeah. I'm not, so, this is not popular.
Bro, the cancel culture, Ooh. Bro, you can't tell me that those micro habits don't. I'm a firm believer that micro habits always translate into macro habits. They translate into bigger habits. So little things that we've been trained to do on the small side.
Mm.
Like, I know that it has to have some effect. I ain't got no scholarly journals to prove it sometimes. I don't have any. I just see it in my own life. And I know for sure that, like, when you're dealing with a culture that we've been submerged in of, like, if somebody does something wrong, I'm done. You can't tell me that does not translate somehow, some way into the way that we view friendships and ultimately the long-term, lifelong friendship of marriage.
I think it's extremely unnatural, just out of our flesh alone, to lock in with someone and just walk it out with them. I don't say unnatural. I would say it's not convenient. That's what I would say.
I would say both. It's not natural. It's at least, and I would even say it's particularly for, our culture. I feel like it's not, our generation, it's not natural to be like, I've got a problem with that person. And I'm gonna confront them, not for the sake of trying to terminate them, but to try to salvage something. Like when I come to you about a problem, it's not me, you know, trying to bucket shoot and to end stuff. It's you know, it's more so like I'm coming at you because I see a long term goal for this friendship, and so my confrontation has reconciliation as the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's natural. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's natural. I think that's what makes it so the story of Jesus so unnatural to us as well. That the knee-jerk reaction, I think, if you consider that we offended, that we have this beef with God, and there's this confrontation that needs to be had. His confrontation ultimately, or more primarily, is for the purpose of reconciliation. I'm going to confront you. The cross is a very condemning thing. It's just like, yeah, we can see it as a beautiful thing that reconciled us, but also it's a symbol that something this bad had to happen. This was the confrontation. The cross is a confrontation.
Yeah, not just something. Your something
Yeah.
happened.
This was a confrontation. this is a confrontation, but it was a confrontation. It was a, this is where it's come to. It's come to blows.
Wow.
It's come to blood because of what's happened. But at the same time, with the goal of reconciliation. And so I think that's not natural. Mm. That's a very odd thing, I think, for humanity. And I think it's particularly odd for this generation, this era of humanity. Mm. Again, because cancel culture. I'm so glad Jesus wasn't born in cancel culture.
Jesus!
Don't cancel me, Lord.
Oh, man, we should have been canceled long ago, Father.
Yeah, don't cancel me. I have been on two extremes of cultures when it pertains to marriage. And I think it's I don't want to make excuses. I'll make excuses. It warped me. It damaged me, okay?
I've been damaged. It's okay, brother.
Yeah, I've been damaged. And I think that on one side, I was convinced of mainstream culture that love should be this, like, yeah, Disney type thing. It's like, once you see that person, like, your eyes light up and you get the butterfly feelings. It was very much about catching a feeling, you know what I'm saying? That vibe is like, oh my gosh, like, man, I just love this person. And you just get consumed and obsessed with that person. Mm-hmm. And then they ride off into the sunset and happily ever after. And, you know, we don't see all the arguing and stuff like that, or we don't see them. We don't see the everydayness of
Cinderella
of
wouldn't have been that exciting.
No, we don't want to see the arguments, you know, afterwards. See, when she get pregnant and she's like, hungry, and you don't feel like going out again. I just went and got you something. I got you, babe. It's cool. Nobody wants to see that. It's not a Disney movie.
Well, we might have to do one. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah. So like, you don't want to see that. So I fell to that. But then I also think I fell when I came into more conservative evangelical circles. There was this like, none of that matters at all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, it's all about the gospel and just marry because of the gospel. And it doesn't, man, does she love Jesus? Does she have a pulse?
What's the problem, bro?
What?
You sleeping.
What is it? The Bible doesn't say anything about anything else. That's all modern age stuff, dating and all that stuff. That's that modern age foolishness of the world. Does she love Jesus? Does she have a pulse?
Does she have a womb?
Does she have a womb? All right, then. Go out here and be fruitful and multiply, my G. I don't know what you're waiting on. And so, like, you know, that's what plays into this. Like, what happens is you got people like myself who rush relationships, and you get into it, and you just, like, the first thing on your mind, everything is about marriage in the first, like, week or two. You know what I'm saying? There's just this, I don't have a problem with the word pursuit. I have a problem with some of the baggage that's been dumped into it, into pursuit, and the word courtship and all that. Courtship has this connotation that it's like, oh, we're not dating, we're courting. Essentially meaning we're not engaged, but we're engaged-ish. Mm. Like, that's the vibe. And what happens is when things don't work out, that breakup, I feel like, feels very different. Even if it was only a month or two, it's not even a breakup. It was a talking session, whatever it may be. I know people who have felt that. I felt that. It's like, this feels different because we were talking about marriage ASAP. And I've had people who want to push in that direction. And I think I finally kind of come to this realization. Like, I've seen people that I love and I cherish their friendships, particularly like you and your wife, Jackie and Preston and so forth. Like, I see it. I'm like, man, those people are actually friends. Mm. They have problems and stuff. I hear about your problems. Y'all tell me about your problems. So I don't have like a fantasy fake view of what that friendship is. But the reality is you can't take it away. Like, you and Kiana are homies.
Yeah.
Like, that's my dog.
But beyond everything, bro, that is the thing that holds this thing together. Mm. I feel like, man, even with, how did Peter get to the point? How did Paul get to the point where they're just willing to say, you know, I'll die for this person? I think that it's this understanding that this is the person that I love. This is the person that I love. And my friendship with my wife is not romantic, bro. It's not romantic. Like, I think that's what people, like, they feel like, man, it sparks every day. You know, when you're broke, when you're mad at each other, nobody cute. No, Nobody cute, man. Like, all this. That's why I be like, people think I be going hard with the whole, oh, the preference thing. Preferences are cool. But when I'm out of town and I need somebody to be with my kids praying over them, I'm not worried about how big her booty is. Because when we're broke, bro.
Big booty don't pay bills.
The booty don't pay the bills.
It's a turn. The booty don't pay the bills, dog.
Tweetable, dog. It's tweetable. But if I know my friend is at home, I know my friend has my kid's best interest. That's my homie. She'll never like, she always represent my best interest. Mm. When everything like, cause we've been broke. We've been mad at each other. Can I sit down in the same room and then have a talk with my friend? It'd be easy for you to cut off the person that fits your preference, but it'd be hard for you to really disconnect with the person that you're saying, nah, that's my homie. Like how David and Jonathan, like, you know, Peter and G's, like, I rock with you. Mm. I can't see life without, that's when, you know, that's what's so beautiful about marriage, I think. When two people that are different are able to say, like, man, I know you know you. I know your past. Not just I know your present with me, and I know how you've disappointed me, but you're my friend. Mm. Like, it has nothing to do with sex, has nothing to do with romance, has everything to do with a commitment to someone that you believe is your friend. Mm. And so for me, like, I think if you're going to wait, I say then, instead of saying, man, I'm just waiting for the bad one to walk past me, I wish the language was, I'm just waiting to develop a friendship that I truly believe in.
Yeah,
that I feel like I'll ride for, that I'll die for, that I want to live for, that I can't live my life without. And so I love when people, like, even like me, like, people look at me and my wife, but specifically me, and be like, wow, what a man of God. Look at the beard.
Y'all should have saw him without a beard. I don't like it.
I hate you,
oh,
Joe.
Oh my God.
I hate
when he cut
you.
It off, I said, bro, I don't know what you're doing, but don't do it again.
I look like an electric eel. I look like Kermit the Frog. And it's, I like that. I like the fact that I look like that without a beard.
I hated it, bro. I hate it, dog. Oh, I can't even judge what you look like years ago without a beard, but I saw you do it last year and I hated it. I said, please, whatever you're doing. We was about to go on tour. I said, hey, bro. So I was just wondering, as we're planning like the poems and stuff like that. I know you said you got, we got two buses, all that kind of stuff like that. Is your beard going to be ready by the time the tour starts? Because I feel like we're like 2 weeks away and that mug still.
I hate you, man. Look, I shaved my beard one time to try to impress my wife and try to take it back to, you know, just to reminisce on those days. She said, put it back.
I don't know where you put it, but go get it back. Bring it back to this house.
So, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that my wife loved me. She really did. So she deserved whatever God would mold me to be.
Which is the beard. It's definitely what God wanted for you, bro.
It was part of my destiny. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yeah. So I just feel like, man, some things are fleeting, man, but there are certain things worth waiting for and chasing after. And if we're coming back to that question, did I wait too long? I think there is a certain level of advantage to be in a position where you've waited long enough to see everything that shouldn't have been fall to the wayside. You've waited long enough to see everything that you didn't want. You've waited long enough to get your heart broken enough. You've waited long enough to pray and not see those prayers answered. I think it takes me to older people that get their degrees later on in life. And the question is, you see, when you're a young person, you see that older person in class taking that class with you, and then they get that diploma. Chances are that old person that took that class with you is excelling. They do really well.
Oh, I know.
Oh, and they appreciate that degree when it's off. That degree goes on the wall. And so that advantage is, now that you've waited, you've also developed this true, there's going to be a true appreciation when you finally get it. And I never, even though I got married young, I never, do not rush into marriage, but value it enough that you're looking for the right thing when it comes. And when it does come, appreciate it, like that person that sat in the class with the 20-year-old and put it on the wall and appreciate it when it's done. That's my bit of advice. Although, I mean, I don't think that anyone can wait too long because, you know, God's timing is his timing. But when it comes, you'll be able to appreciate it.
Two.
Nothing is running from you.
From us. Everything good God intends for you will flow down this river you stand in.
Slow.
Pace. Don't let them rush you into affairs the triune God never conspired for you to be in. One.
You are not a leper. Quarantined to the outer fringes of joy. You're gonna be all right. We're gonna be all right. Well, that wraps it up for this second episode of the Flights and Feelings podcast, season one. Thank y'all so much for listening and tuning in. The response for the first one was so amazing. We peaked at number 6 on the iTunes podcast in religion and spirituality. And a lot of other categories as well around the world. It's just been amazing how it's been received. And I hope to continue it. And so to do that, what really would help, I hate to ask for it because it sounds so cheesy because everyone does it, but it is what it is. Please subscribe. Please subscribe and click like and share. Leave reviews and comments and stuff. It really helps out with the algorithm so other people can find this podcast as well. And of course, share it with all your friends and family as you've been doing already. I can tell. Thank y'all so much. I love y'all. Grace be with you. Remember, always fly home.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Atlanta, where the local time is 10:46 a.m. For your safety and the safety of those around you, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened and keep the aisles clear until we approach the gate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.